And we turn in the scriptures to Luke chapter 7, where we'll hear the rest of the chapter in chapter 7, and verses 36 through 50. In Luke chapter 7, and we're reading verses 36 through 50. God's people, let's hear now the word of the living and true God. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And those are the words of the Lord. So we see here there is a man, a Pharisee, whose name here was Simon. It's not talking about Simon Peter. It's talking about another man whose name is Simon, who is a Pharisee. And the Pharisee asked Jesus to come and to his house and dine with him. And there's also a woman who was in the city who came to that house because she knew Jesus was there. And this woman is described as a sinner. She was known to be a sinner. She had, in that way, sinned outwardly. People saw it and knew her. Could say say to other people, "She's a sinner." And you could see it and they would know it. Just as she shows forth here. Because she begins to weep before Jesus. Coming before His presence. And she begins to weep. She began wiping His feet with her own tears. Why is she crying? Because she's so sorrowful and grieved because of her sin. And kissing His feet. Because she knows who this is. This is the Christ, the Messiah, who was promised in the Old Testament and promised so many times to come, and who would be the one who heals diseases and does great things. And He's done that. And she's heard about it, maybe seen some of these things. And so she comes kissing His feet, and she's humiliating herself before Him. Because in that society, people's feet, of course, were much grosser than in our society because we have socks and shoes. They did not. They only had sandals, and so they were always dirty. And yet, think to yourself what it would be like to kiss somebody else's feet. You would think it's kind of gross. But she's showing her humiliation before Him. And she was anointing His feet with perfume to make them smell well, smell good. Beloved, these were tears of godly sorrow. for her sins. And you can see verse 39, the Pharisee begins to question Christ, you know. You should know that this woman is a great sinner, and cast her off from you, cut her off from your presence. And you could even apply that to the church. She's such a great sinner that she can't be allowed into the church. Cast her from your presence. That's what the Pharisee is saying. And Christ responded with a parable of the two debtors to show why this woman, who has more apparent sin, will love him more than the Pharisee ever will, who doesn't believe that he has any sin, or very little. Because much has been forgiven her, and much is required, and she knows that, and so she loves him, and she shows it forth with doing that kind of groveling, humiliation type of love for him. And here's Jesus assuring her that her sins are pardoned and justifying himself in the grace and favor that he shows to her compared to this proud Pharisee. Her sins were forgiven. And that's why we can come into the church. That's why we can come and worship the Lord, because he's a God who forgives his people. There's not someone who is too sinful to come within the doors of the church or a church building or meet here with Jesus, because Jesus forgives sinners. And he tells her how she was saved and why she was forgiven. And verse 50, your faith has saved you. Her faith. And you see the others at the table again in awe of Jesus. Who is this man who even forgives sins? And it's the Jesus who we come to every Lord's Day, especially. We should come to him every day. But especially on the Lord's Day, in a more holy, set-apart manner, and where he instructs us with his word and he reminds us of his grace, just as he does here. And so we ought, as his people, not to be afraid to come before him. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. And your need is always now, because you still have sin. And we still need to be forgiven and still need to be loved by him. And we respond in worship of him because we love him. And perhaps our worship of him should be with more humiliation before him. Not to come here and pridefully, like the Pharisee, thinking we have no sin or have little. But that as we come to know him more, we see that our sin increases, in a sense. We see it more clearly. And so we ought to love him that much more. For he is the only one who can forgive us of our sins. And he has done so, if you have believed in him. Let's pray. Father, we are great sinners. We have broken all your commandments. We have brought about other gods before you, and we've worshipped them. We've committed idolatry. We've taken to ourselves superstitions and ways to worship you that are not in accordance with your word. We have taken the things of the world and drawn our satisfaction and pleasure from the things of the world instead of the things that pertain to you, that is your Son. We've taken your name in vain. We've spoken rashly, unwisely. We've used euphemisms to sound more like a Pharisee instead of like who we are. And knowing that in our heart, the sin that comes out, we try to change that to sound better. We've joked, perhaps, about you and the things of who you are. We've made light of your word. And we've not honored you with reading your word and singing your word and praying your word with our hearts. We've not kept the Sabbath day holy because, in the first place, we have not worked diligently 6 days And then coming here, we've already, in our minds and hearts, drawn our attention to things that are outside of resting in You alone. We've tried to rest in our own pleasures. We've not honored our fathers and mothers. We've not honored our authorities over us and our inferiors under us, whether that be in our families as parents and children, or in our workplaces as those in authority over others, or being under the authority of some. And perhaps we have not even as elders treated our inferiors, those of the congregation, like good shepherds, but we've become like the wicked shepherds that are talked about in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And as the congregation have not perhaps submitted to the elders and not respected them. We pray that You would forgive us of these sins. We've murdered in our hearts. We've committed adultery and lusted after men or women or things of this world. We have stolen from You, stolen time that You've given us, and we've wasted it on things of this world that mean nothing and are vanity. We've stolen from You. Perhaps even in the coming moments and the tithes and offerings, as You say in Malachi, that we steal from You. May that not be us. May it certainly not be in our hearts. And we've borne false witness against our neighbor. We have slandered some. We've gossiped about others. We've coveted things of this world, people perhaps. As it says that we ought not to, and you shall not covet our neighbor's house, our neighbor's wife, or anything that is our neighbor's. And Father, we have broken Your commandments, all of them. We're guilty of all of them. And that's why we come to You boldly, because You're a God who forgives us of our sins. You alone can forgive us. We cannot pay restitution by any means and have You forgive us through our restitution. It is only by Your Son and Him who sacrificed Himself on the cross that we may be forgiven of our sins. And we're thankful that You've given us Your Son, who died on the cross for our sins, who had lived a perfect righteous life, because He is the God-man. And He died and was buried, and we're thankful that He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, of which we celebrate the gospel, the death and resurrection of Christ, every Lord's Day. We're thankful for the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment, that You let us not forget the gospel. That we are thankful that we don't get to, or only are able to celebrate the gospel once a year or twice a year, but every Lord's Day, we celebrate Your Son. And so we praise Your holy name, that You let us not forget Him. Not only do we praise You, but that is our petition. Let us not forget Him. Let us not forget what You have done for us and Your eternal decrees and bringing us to Yourself through Your Son and by Your Spirit. And You've brought us into the family of God and adopted us and made us heirs according to the promises and given us all that You will give to Christ. And we have the promise that You will sanctify us, and You'll put to death more and more the sin that remains, and make us alive, and make us to live more and more unto righteousness. And You'll bring us unto glory, of which we long for now, making us perfect. in holiness and righteousness and knowledge. And so, Father, we do not come today pleading against you that you have forgiven the greatest of sinners, but we praise you that you have forgiven us, who we know are the greatest of sinners. And so as we continue struggling with our faith, we pray that you would help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.